listening to the On Mission Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the June 20th, 2008 edition of the On Mission Podcast, the audio companion to On Mission Magazine and OnMission.com. On Mission is the flagship publication of the North American Mission Board. You can sign up for a free subscription by visiting our website, onmission.com, or call 1-888-239-3990. I'm Carol Pipes, editor of On Mission. Here with me today is Brent Moxie, who is the business manager for On Mission. Brent?
Yes, it's great to be here.
Good to have you.
Thank you.
And as the business manager, you kind of take care of our subscriptions and circulation and
marketing,
things like that. So if you have trouble with your subscription, you're not getting your issue or anything like that, call Brent.
Call Carol.
Call Brent.
Call Brent. Me too.
Yes. So Adam Miller, who's our associate editor, who's normally here, is on assignment today.
He's on location.
He is on location. He's covering the floods in the Midwest. I can't wait to hear what he has to say about our Southern Baptist disaster relief teams that are out there. I believe they're doing some feeding work crews,
yeah.
And then I think they'll start the mud out process fairly soon.
Within a few days, I think
yeah.
It is.
Our disaster relief teams just do a tremendous job when there's any kind of disaster here in the U.S., and so I really...
And our disaster relief center that's here, I mean, you can tell when a disaster relief kicks up, the volunteers come in. I mean, we even got some emails of them needing more volunteers coming in there to help out.
So definitely.
They've really been hit hard, but man, they're there. They're ready for it.
Oh, yeah. And I think that they're even asking for some donations as well for this particular disaster relief situation. And the website is www.nam.net/DR. So anyway, we'll look forward to having Adam back with us next week and hearing about his time out there in the Midwest.
That's right. And he's not the only one that's been traveling, right? So Adam's been out. Carol, you've also been out traveling.
That's right.
Well,
Adam and I were both at the Southern Baptist Convention in Indianapolis. That was, last week?
It was.
Over a week ago now. Which was so much fun. We had a great time being there. And
you guys had a chance to do some podcasts from the Southern Baptist Convention. So you're giving us kind of a behind the scenes.
Exactly.
For the folks that were there and even the folks that weren't there. So you guys did some great podcasts out there.
Thank you. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, we spent some time at some of the crossover events on the Saturday before the SBC started. And really had a great time seeing firsthand what the volunteers in Indianapolis were doing to reach that community. And then, yeah, we did some behind-the-scenes interviews at the Southern Baptist Convention, and that was a lot of fun. So you can go to the On Mission website, onmission.com, and click on our podcast link, and you'll see each of those podcasts there. You can hear about those. And
you can listen to any of the old shows,
yeah,
actually. They're
exactly.
All on there.
They're all there. And, of course, the SBC was a big... time for the North American Mission Board. We introduced the new National Evangelism Initiative while we were there, which is
GPS,
God's Plan for Sharing. And so that was, I think, received very well from the messengers at the Southern Baptist Convention.
Right.
And we're gearing up for this 12-year...
12 years, a big initiative until 2020.
Exactly. So, and the goal is... every believer sharing and every person hearing by 2020.
It's a lot of folks out there.
It is. There are. So that's, you know, for North America.
That's right.
But I think...
but there's some really neat plans underway, and they're still developing things as we speak.
Oh,
every
I know.
Day,
I know. And I really love that it has a real grassroots feel to it, that this has really come from the state conventions, and a lot of the directors of evangelism from the state conventions have just really been working to kind of build up this initiative. So I think it's going to be something just really great. And, you know, with God's help, we can have every person in North America hearing by 2020.
That's so. Right. The churches have really just grabbed hold of this thing. And almost we want them to, you know, to make it their own. We don't want this to be something that North American Mission Board is grabbing hold of, or just the state conventions. We want everyone to feel a part. This is their initiative.
Right. So and it's going to take every person, every believer, sharing their faith in order for this goal to be reached.
That's
and
right.
So you can go on and listen to our podcast. Did an interview with Dr. Hammond, president of the North American Mission Board, talking about the NEI, about GPS. So please go on and listen to that.
Definitely, definitely. So you guys have been to SBC,
yep,
traveling around everywhere,
mm-hmm,
and you have recently gone to, is it Bonnaroo? Is that right?
Yes, I was at Bonnaroo.
Which, explain to everyone, I know because I'm hip. And I'm with it.
Right.
But this is a music and arts festival, is that right?
It is. It's a music and arts festival that takes place every summer in Manchester, Tennessee, which is a small town in Middle Tennessee, right off of I-24.
Which you're a fan of Tennessee anyway. Carol, as you all should know out there, anytime anything comes up, Tennessee is the answer to everything.
That's right.
With Carol Pipes.
That's right. Well, if you don't know, I grew up in Tullahoma, Tennessee. Which Tullahoma is the town right next to Manchester, which is where this music festival takes place. And the festival started about 7 years ago, and they have several stages set up in a 700-acre field. So imagine 700 acres, six or seven stages. And this year, 80,000 people came and camped out for 4 days.
That's huge.
It is.
So this is music and arts straight for 4 days.
For 4 days. 24/7, there's something going on.
Oh, my goodness.
It was amazing. And, you know,
how do they decide what stage they're going to go to and which area?
Well, you know, they have a schedule of all the bands, which it's more than 100 music artists who come to this thing and perform. So you really do have to pick and choose
who you're going to want to be close to and hear.
Exactly. So they have it all scheduled out, and you can say, okay, well, I really want to hear this guy, so I'm going to go to that stage.
Gotcha.
And then later on, I can go hear this person. And they really have a wide range of musical artists.
Like, who are some of the big bands that folks would probably know? I'm sure they have kind of like the headliners, some of those folks. But who are some of the big bands?
The big acts were Metallica, Pearl Jam, Widespread Panic, the comedian Chris Rock was there.
Then some heavy metal, you said, like Alison Krauss, things like that.
Yes, yes. Yeah, Alison Krauss was there, which it was very odd. She seemed very odd in that whole, you know,
the
very
mix.
Alternative hard rock crowd. But yeah, Alison Krauss was there, and Kanye West was there.
Now, I can't help but notice that a lot of these artists aren't Christian artists.
That's true. This is not a Christian festival.
True.
This is a completely secular music festival. You know, and they have a little bit of for everyone, you know,
everything
from Willie Nelson to B.B. King to Metallica.
Okay.
Which, I mean, that's a wide range of music.
So now, other than enjoying the music and mm-hmm. all the different tastes of music that's out there and the arts that's happening, what was your purpose for that? You weren't just there to hear the music.
I was not there to hear the music at all.
Okay.
Actually, I did not get to hear any of the music. I wasn't inside of the music venue.
Okay.
I was there volunteering and also reporting for On Mission Magazine, but mostly volunteering with the Tennessee Baptist Convention.
Okay.
They have a hospitality tent that they set up in the campground area with other vendors. And it's a huge tent. They call it the More Than Music Tent.
Okay.
And it was a place where people could come and get out of the sun, get out of the rain the day it rained. And then they were handing out just cold water, iced tea, lemonade.
And that's free of charge.
Free of charge, yes,
okay.
Free of charge. And every morning they had coffee and donuts or coffee and pastries for the campers who were there, and that was all free. And so I was just amazed at the masses of people who came to the tent
But what kind of folks did it draw? Like who came out? Not just to the event, but to the tent.
Well, I mean, the event draws just a wide range of people. You've got a lot of college students are there. You've got kind of your hippies. The hippie crowd is there.
Right.
And even, you know, suburbanites are there. So, I mean, just a wide range. There were even some high school students were there, which...
Gotcha.
Not sure I would let my high school student go
that's
to
right,
an event like
right.
that and get
but
out. But there were some high school students there, but a lot of college students, just people who just love music. And you got to really love music to want to camp out.
And for 4 days.
For 4 days.
To endure the rain,
yes.
Sun.
Yes. And, I mean, they had some hand washing stations throughout the campgrounds, but if you wanted to take a shower... It was going to cost you at least $10 to take a shower.
So people brought in portable showers to do that? Is that like a company that would do
something
like that?
Yeah, the Bonnaroo people set up the showers and the wash stations and the porta potties and all that good stuff.
Okay, so for everybody listening, paint like a picture. So you've got a tent out here outside. You're not in the festival walls right now. You're outside.
Exactly, we're outside.
You guys are got donuts, you got drinks, you got water, some shade. What does it look like? What is somebody walking up? What do they see? Do they think you're there to sell them something? Do they think you're there just to hang out?
It's a very inviting atmosphere, the tent, because it's one of the few places that has a large amount of shade. And we had teams of people walking out through the campgrounds telling people about the tent and inviting them to come to the tent, the More Than Music tent. And so, as soon as they heard free food, because we were giving out fruit, bananas, apples, oranges, things like that, which...
At an event where a banana is probably $8, they're happy to pay nothing.
Well, exactly. And really, we were kind of in the area with all the other vendors, and they're not selling health foods.
Right.
They're selling hamburgers, hot dogs, pizza, gyros, and, you know...
Everything else.
All chicken on a stick.
Gotcha.
All that sort of stuff.
Turkey, what about the big turkey legs?
They had
man-eating.
Actually, right next to our tent, there was people there selling turkey legs.
Funnel cakes?
There were funnel cakes.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm a big funnel cake fan.
You know, corn on the cob. All that stuff that you
corn
would
dogs?
Have.
Is there corn dogs?
Yeah, there were corn dogs.
I like corn dogs at those types of festivals.
All that stuff. So, I mean, one of our NAM chaplains was there at the tent. Actually, we had a couple of NAM chaplains that were at the tent. But one thing he said is that we're some of the weirdest people here.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Because we're not selling anything and we're not here to gain anything. We're just here to love on people. And that's what we did. That's what the volunteers at the tent did. We would sit down and talk with people who came to the tent and just talk to them about where they were from, how long it took them to get there, what were their favorite bands, you know, what was it like camping out? And then it was so easy to turn those conversations into spiritual conversations.
So you guys really took the approach of like conversational evangelism.
Oh, yeah.
You're just making the relationship, growing that, chatting with them for a few minutes, and it's very non-threatening.
Oh, very non-threatening. And I will say the majority of the people who came to the tent once multiple times.
Really?
They would just keep coming back to the tent because we had just so much to offer, and people were so appreciative of the service that we were providing. I mean, it was just really heartwarming to hear the stories and the different people that came into the tent and finding out where people were from. I mean, I talked to six girls from Vermont who had all driven down together and were camping out. And then, you know, people from Seattle, from Canada, from Brazil. There was a couple there from Brazil. There was a couple of ladies there from Russia, Finland.
To Middle Tennessee.
Exactly.
That's
Middle
amazing.
Tennessee, Manchester, Tennessee, which normally has a population of 10,000.
So during this time, it looks like the 80,000 people that joined the 10,000.
Exactly. It becomes
90,000.
It becomes the fifth largest city in Tennessee during those 4 days.
For 4 days.
For 4 days, yeah.
That's amazing.
It's hilarious. But, you know, I mean, people from all walks of life and for all different kinds of religious backgrounds, faith backgrounds, no faith backgrounds, But you could really very easily get into spiritual conversations. I was just so amazed at how easy it was. And I love the name of the tent, the More Than Music
More
tent.
More Than Music.
And
right.
All the volunteers wore T-shirts and tags that said More Than Music.
Okay.
And so we would be walking through the vendor areas and through the campgrounds, and people would ask, what's More Than Music? What does that mean? So, I mean, right there, an invitation to share the gospel with them.
Wow. So do you have any good stories of folks that were kind of receptive to the gospel?
Yes, actually, I do. And I'm trying to figure out where to start.
I'm sure there's so many of them, right?
There are.
I can't
there
fill
are.
Them all up now.
You know, and there, I won't say that there were a lot of professions of faith. And when I talked to the coordinators of this event, Carrie Walker, who is on staff at Trinity Baptist Church in Manchester, Tennessee. He's okay. really the one that kind of started this. And Larry Gilmore, who is the director of evangelism for the Tennessee Baptist Convention,
okay.
Talked to both of them, and they said, you know that we're probably not going to see a harvest here.
Right.
But what we're doing is planting seeds and watering right. seeds. And so that was just a really neat perspective to have. But they did have stories about people who came to know Christ. One of the stories I heard actually happened last year. They had gotten a message from a young man who had been at Bonnaroo, mm-hmm. and he had gotten one of our Frisbees that had the plan of salvation on it. And he took it home with him. And he said, you know, he couldn't understand why Christians would be at an event like that. But when he got home, he's playing with the Frisbee, he reads the plan of salvation, and something happens in his life, and he wound up, he gave his life to Christ. And so he sent a message thanking them for being there and for sharing the truth with him.
So there's an instance to where you don't see almost instant gratification, but you realize that you're out there just, you're planting the seed. You're throwing
definitely.
Them in.
It.
Because folks are probably in a different mindset when they go to an event like Bonnaroo. Mm-hmm. They're not there. They almost feel like, I'm sure, not they're needing something, you know?
Right.
But when you guys are there and you start planting the seed, you never know how long it's going to be till hit the low part, or it's time. You know, the Holy Spirit is just beating on their heart saying,
definitely.
It's time, open up. And if they have some vehicle already, or they've met you guys with a Frisbee, with a plan of salvation, or remember you from the event, mm-hmm. what a neat chance. And then they've seen a little touch of Christ. You know, they've seen what Jesus used to do.
Oh,
you guys
exactly.
are out there doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
You're feeding people that don't have any food.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving a cup of water to folks that don't have any water. And you're not asking for anything in return. You're just sharing what's on your heart and making it conversational.
Yeah.
I think that's perfect.
That's really funny that you said that, because one of the volunteers made that comment. He's like, I feel like I'm doing what Jesus did in the first century. I was just like, yeah, that's exactly
that's
what
true.
We're doing.
Yeah.
But
WWJD at its best.
Exactly. One young man that I talked to, his name was Dave, and he was from Bartlett, Tennessee. And I met him Saturday morning. So he'd been there since Thursday, started talking to him. And he said he was just ready to go home. He said he didn't realize what all he was going to be experiencing at this event.
Because
there is a lot of drug use,
right.
a lot of marijuana, you know, just crazy stuff.
Right.
And he was a believer, just not very committed.
Okay.
But you knew that God was working in him because he was being convicted and knew that he didn't need to be in that environment. So he was ready to leave. Even one of the bands that he was had come there specifically to hear hadn't played yet. And he was like, I don't even think I want to stay to hear them. He said, I'm ready to go. And so we just encouraged him to really get involved in a local church back home. And
what a neat conviction that he felt.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Just that he had to take a step back and say, I don't need to be around this.
Exactly, exactly. And then the very last day of the event, one of my friends who's there working as a volunteer, he's a world champion juggler, by the way.
Ah, I didn't even know that existed.
Yes.
That's
amazing. Yes, his name is Nathan Durrell, and he's from Tullahoma. I grew up with him. But he was there juggling. He's one of these guys. He's a fabulous juggler, and he really draws a crowd. And He has a great testimony, and he can share his testimony while he's juggling, and you know, just starting conversations while he's juggling and everything. But he was.
You guys didn't even know he was going to be there.
I did not know he was going to be there until I got there, and it was like, oh, Nathan, hey, it's good to see you. I haven't seen him in years, so that was really cool. But he said that the very last day, he was about to get on the last shuttle to leave the event, and a young man walked up to him, and they just started talking. And by the end of their conversation, Nathan led him to Christ, and he prayed right there to receive Christ.
Wow.
So, I mean...
You never know when it's going to come
you
up.
You never
right?
know.
He thinks the whole thing, he's done his... I'm sure his juggling clubs or knives or blades are put away and he's ready to get on the bus.
Exactly.
And the man walks up to him.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, you know, it's just so exciting. And we may never know how many people come to know Christ this ministry.
That's just like life, though, I think. I mean, you encounter folks every day who watch you. I mean, they've got their hawk eyes on you,
you know,
and everything, every move you make is probably influencing the way they're thinking about you. And when they know that that you're a follower of Christ, I mean, that changes their perception. You know, they've got an eye on you, just like an event like that. And you never know. You never know what your actions, you know, what implications they could have.
And, that's right.
You know, some folks just that's their little piece of Jesus that they see, you know.
That's very true. So I won't tell you everything. That happened because while I was there, I got some interviews with some of the volunteers and with a couple of our NAM chaplains who were there as well. So let's take a break and kind of listen to some of those interviews, and then we'll come back and talk.
Sounds good.
All right. I'm here at Bonnaroo, the nation's largest music festival. I'm here in Manchester, Tennessee, and I'm sitting under a big blue and white tent that's been provided by the Tennessee Baptist Convention and some of our local Baptist churches, and I'm here with some of the volunteers who are providing hospitality to the many concert goers that are at this festival. It's estimated that there are probably at least 100,000 people who are here for this four-day event, and I'm sitting with Bill Gandy, who is a North American Mission Board chaplain. And Bill, tell me, why are you here at Bonnaroo?
God has called me to become involved.
And here under the tent, what we're doing is we're just handing out bottles of water, cold water, and snacks, bananas, fruit. I know that you've got information out on the tables. Of course, you have volunteers that are just walking around, talking to people, asking them where they're from. And there's people here from all over the place. Who have you talked to since you've been here?
Well, I talked to a young lady. Wednesday was the first day that the vendors were here. She's from Finland.
Wow.
Yesterday, I talked to Gus and Claudia. They're from Brazil. I talked to a young man yesterday who was born in England. He lives in Scotland. This morning, today, I've talked to several people from Canada. So last year, all 50 states were represented. This year, and there were at least five or six foreign countries. And it looks like, I've talked to vendors from Trinidad, Jamaica. I mean, they're from everywhere. I mean, literally the world has come to Middle Tennessee.
Wow. And what a great opportunity for Tennessee Baptists to reach out.
Yes, and, you know, what we're doing, you know, we're not referring to the staff as volunteers. We're referring to them as ministers of God's grace. Now, we're not here to condemn. We're not here to condone activity, because pastors' sons and daughters are here as well. So, but it gives us a wonderful opportunity to share God's love. We use things like Evangelicubes. We use Roman Road, share Jesus without fear. Some people might use Master of Life. We want to be ourselves, just like the writers of the Bible, their personality, but we are to be led by the Holy Spirit as we minister to those who God has prepared their hearts to be receptive. So some of us, we may be planting seeds, others may be watering, and some may observe the harvest. But we've been called to be obedient, and that's why we're here.
Thank you so much for talking with me. I'm also here with Dick and Ann German, who are Mission Service Corps missionaries with the North American Mission Board, and they're both chaplains appointed by NAM. Ann, tell me, why do you think it's so important for Christian Baptists to be here at Bonnaroo, and why do you come?
I think Manchester becomes an opportunity that God has given us local folks to minister to people that He has brought here in our Jerusalem. And we cannot afford not to be here to minister to these folks. God loves us all. He loves me as much as He does the one out there that is selling drugs or selling the glasswares, as we have.
The paraphernalia.
The paraphernalia.
Right.
And so this is His command, that we love one another. God is love, and we are here to love on these folks, regardless of the outward appearance, that He loves them. And so this is an opportunity for us to demonstrate His love by being here, being present, and providing for some of their needs, at least. And to be His hands, to be His ears and eyes, and to have His heart. And He has a passion for the hearts, for the souls of men and women. And I'm sure that there are a lot of, I don't know, but anyway, Carol, some are lost.
Oh, yeah.
And they're struggling with who they are, and they're trying to find who they are here, and many of them don't have any business being here. You know as well as I do that they don't. And then there are some that are Christians, and they're just out for a good time.
Right.
To get away from family and so forth and so on. But we're here just to share God's love with them.
And you're providing such a great ministry. I mean, one of the things you have on the tables are these little bags that have kind of personal hygiene kits that have toothbrushes, toothpaste, baby wipes, sunscreen, which is very important. So something that maybe our listeners might think about doing next year is somebody has to donate those items and pack those bags.
That's right.
So maybe there's a Sunday school class or a missions group that might want to think about preparing that for next year.
That's true. That's a good mission opportunity. On each of these hygiene kits and inside the cover of all the Bibles that we're giving out is in literature. We're using the 1-888-JESUS-2000 number on. If you need prayer, call this number.
Right.
So that number is with the Evangelism Response Center there at the North American Mission Board.
That's right.
So no matter where they are from, whether they're from New York, California, wherever, that number is available.
That's right.
Prayer.
They can call that number, and there's trained listeners on the other end of the phone that can pray with them or walk them through the gospel, share the gospel with them. You're one of those.
That's our Mission Service Corps assignment, is with the Evangelism Response Center. We work with Dr. Radney.
Oh, good.
That's right.
That's great.
There are a lot of opportunities here for ministry, not just beneath the tent, but out in the, they call it Tent City, out in the area where the campers are.
Yeah.
Yesterday, there were some of our folks that distributed fans, like the old-timey church fans.
Right.
And there was some publicity on the fans, that free food, free maps, free items.
Right.
And then we've had distribution, and I think we've ran out, I'm not sure, but anyway, distribution of Frisbees that has the plan of salvation on the Frisbees. And the young folks really like the Frisbees also.
And this tent, I'll tell our listeners, is open 24 hours a day. I know that there are some college students that are volunteering to spend the night. They're staying up overnight. And then y'all gave away free coffee and donuts and snacks this morning for breakfast.
Ma'am.
And we had quite a crowd, actually, this morning.
People
came through. So
we did.
It's a lot of fun.
We have an alphabetized schedule of the bands, and that's a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we gave out yesterday, and we have more of those. We have We'll have church services. There'll be a preaching service or a Bible study here Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.
Oh, that's great.
And last year was our first year to have a Bible study like that. So we're getting better at what we're doing. This is the second year to have this large tent. You can see this tent from a long distance. As we were walking this morning, you
right.
can see the tent above the small camper-type tents.
Right. So it really is a beacon. And you
yes.
called it a lighthouse earlier, a lighthouse in this tent city that we're in. You know, there's all these people who are camping out for these 4 days, and they'll start to learn that this is a place that they can come and cool off and
a
place of refuge and get loved on by the
That's
volunteers.
Right.
And you know, people are just kind of walking around and mingling and just sitting and talking about where people are from, and they're from all over and
right.
from all walks of life. It's just very interesting.
It is. Haven't you seen some of the most unique tattoos?
Oh, yeah. We have. Lots
Very
of
unique.
Artwork.
That's right. Lots of artwork. Body art.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting.
It is.
Very unique place to be.
So if you're interested in volunteering next year, you can contact Carrie Walker, who is on staff at Trinity Baptist Church in Manchester, Tennessee. And you can go on their church website and find that out. Or you can also contact the Tennessee Baptist Convention and go on their website as well. So, and we'll be walking around and talking to some other volunteers and finding out what they think about this event. Oh, and the tent itself. Tell me about the name of the tent.
The name of this tent?
Yes. The More Than Music.
Oh, the More Than More Than Music tent.
Yes.
Okay, on the front side of the tent, we have a large banner that where we people can come down this gravel walking path,
mm-hmm.
or a road, and More Than Music. And what we are presenting here is there is more than just coming to the largest music festival in the United States.
Right.
There's more to that, this music festival, than just the music.
Mm-hmm.
That it's about Jesus Christ. It's not all about music, but it's about a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is more important than any music festival in the world.
Right, more than any band that may be here, no matter how big they are.
And we have about 100 bands here.
Yeah.
Most of the folks my generation and most of the folks that are here aren't familiar with all the bands. There are so many. And so we have More Than Music. And last year we used the music notes. We used the music notes uh-huh. with the color code
right.
for seeing so forth and so on.
Right. The evangelism bracelets.
Right. And those are in each of the hygiene kits.
Oh, that's
also.
Great.
So we have a witness into within the hygiene kit
yeah.
itself.
And all the volunteers are walking around with these badges that say More Than Music. And people are walking up and asking, what is More Than Music? And, you know, just this morning when you and I were out walking around, we had a vendor ask, you know, what does that mean? What is More Than Music? And it's just a great entryway to talk, to start a discussion about Jesus.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
It's great.
On the front of our tent also, we have the music notes, More Than Music, and we have free coffee and snacks. Local aid, emergency help. It's a good place.
You know, and that's something else, emergency help. I know that earlier today, one of our volunteers, Larry Gilmore, who works with the Tennessee Baptist Convention, he had met a young lady who last night got separated from her friends, and she doesn't know where her tent is, and she came here and spent the evening here. And I know that Larry and his wife spent their today trying to help her find her friends. So yeah, I mean, there are just so many ways that we're helping minister to this community.
So. To remind the folks that when they drive in with their group in their cars,
mm-hmm.
that their vehicles do not leave this campsite, the Bonnaroo grounds, until Sunday afternoon.
Right.
They are parked.
Yes, but they're here. Once
they
get here, they're not going anywhere.
The Bonnaroo is so large that Bonnaroo has their own small hospital, the facilities.
Wow.
And I think that's really neat. They meet the needs also.
Right. So their own hospital and their own church right here under this tent.
Got it.
Well, thank you so much, and you have a great time.
Thank you, Miss Carolyn. I appreciate you coming down to Manchester and meeting with us.
Well,
appreciate
thanks. Dick, tell me why you think this is such a great opportunity.
Well, I feel it's a divine opportunity to interact with a culture that exists across our country. The majority, most of these people don't go to church anywhere.
Right.
Many of them have different beliefs, and some no beliefs at all. And so it's just a God thing that they have come to where they can see the gospel in action, showing love, God's love. And that's what we tell them when they come. I say, we're here because God loves you, and because of that, we love you and want to help you and to help you realize that the pathway to real happiness is only through Jesus Christ. And that may be all we ever say. But the seeds have been planted here by the love that's been shown in this tent. And that's what we need to be about in our country, is sowing that we might be able to reap.
That's right. All right. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the More Than Music tent here at Bonnaroo with Nathan Jarrell. And Nathan, you are a volunteer here today, and you're also a juggler.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yep, that's me.
So tell me, what have you been doing today?
Basically, we went into the venue and where the stages are and everything this morning about a little before lunchtime, and kind of found a shady spot where people are hanging out, and just kind of started hanging out with people, and had the pastor's son from Trinity, Brent, he was with me, and Scott Capshaw was with me, and we kind of formed a little team to just kind of do a little performance type thing, but not really performing, just kind of doing stuff together, where they would play the music on the drums and the stuff, and I would juggle, and we would start conversations with people that way, and eventually, you know, lead that into the sharing of faith and stuff like that. So we had a good experience, and each one of us, you know, got to talk to different people, because some people wanted to talk to people who were drumming and really, you know, interact with the drummers, and some people wanted to come, you know, talk to the juggler and stuff like that to kind of have that.
Right. And you actually travel around and do events like this quite often.
I wouldn't say like Bonnaroo quite often, but yeah, we do outreaches, and when I look around here, it reminds me of a little bit of the NASCAR type events, where you have all the thousands of people camping out together, but then you've got the fact that this is mainly college students and more of the hippie college
right.
students and stuff like that, so it's a lot different, but yeah, we do things like that and
do outreach. You find that it's fairly easy to get into spiritual conversations?
Yeah, it's really easy with, you know, it's especially easy if you have something like that, like some kind of special interest that other people are interested in
right.
to bring that conversation together and stuff too. I've been using artwork and juggling and doing it different ways, different times and stuff like that, so.
So just meeting people where they are and finding a common interest?
Finding a common interest and just, you know, I met a girl in the tent today, this morning, before I went out to be near the stages and everything, and she was an art student somewhere, so I mean, I was just kind of sharing some of the artwork that I'd done with her, and she was, you know, a lesbian background,
lifestyle right.
and stuff, but, you know, she wanted to see the artwork that I'd done, it was Christian artwork, and she, when I got to the point where she realized it was a Christian thing, and she was saying, yeah, this, you know, I'm this way, and I'm not going to do anything, but I want to see what you've done. I think it's really cool. And,
right.
and she would look at the drawings. She would say, oh, you know, I love Jesus. And, you know, she didn't really mean
right.
that she loved Jesus, but she was enjoying the artwork. And I was hoping to be able to get another seed planted in her while we were talking and stuff. So.
And you did. And that's what a lot of this is about, is it's planting seeds.
Yeah, it's planting seeds. I mean, each person here obviously knows they're on the journey through life, and they have lots of questions, and it's just good to interact with them and be able to say, you know, yeah, you know, none of us have all the answers, but God does have all the answers.
That's right.
So.
Well, I hope you have a great time this weekend.
Yep, it's really good.
Thanks. I'm here with Larry Gilmore, who is the State Director of Evangelism for the Tennessee Baptist Convention. And, of course, he's played a large role in coordinating this event here at Bonnaroo. Tell me, why do you think this is such an important opportunity for Tennessee Baptists to be involved in?
Well, Carol, it's interesting that in all of our churches we push missions, and we spend thousands, yea, millions of dollars going all over the world to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we say that's important. And the interesting thing to me is that the world has paid millions of dollars and is spending millions of dollars right here in Manchester, Tennessee.
Right.
And they've come to us, 80 to 100,000 people. And the mission field's come to us. We need to be here.
Yeah.
We can come here. It doesn't cost us much money. And yet we still have the gospel of Jesus Christ to share with a world that's in great need.
Right.
So we have to be here.
Right. So what's been your impression of the people that you've met at this event?
You know, it's the big scene, of course, is a drug scene. Drugs, music, and people in our churches will look at this and say, oh, you know, that's just, you know, we don't go there.
Right. It's too way out.
It's too way out and everything. But the interesting thing to me is that I've not found any young person, and they're not all young people. They're older people who's been rude. They're most of them that we've encountered have been appreciative of what we've been doing here and trying to share. Out in the venue, when we go out there and we seek to do surveys or ask questions and encounter, you know, the people and try to engage them in a conversation about Jesus Christ, they may say, no, I don't want to hear about that. But they're not ugly. They're not rude. And, I mean, there are certainly those out there who are. But the people have come. They're searching. Some have come just to party. Others are trying to proclaim their philosophy of life, their ideology. And there, so,
yeah, there do seem to be a lot of people here who have, I mean, just a variety of faith backgrounds and cult backgrounds and things like that.
You name it, it's here.
Exactly. But it's all here. The more reason for Christians and Tennessee Baptists to be here to tell them the truth.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing, as we engage the people and we ask about what's your philosophy of life, what band have you come to hear, what's the message they're trying to proclaim, you know, and you listen to that, and you have to listen first.
Oh, yeah.
You can't come in and with the attitude of, you know, you better turn or you're going to burn.
Right.
Last year, another group came in, was walking down the street with a big cross and a sign, Bonnaroos are going to hell, repent.
No.
You know, and the people just ignore them like an engineer in a train ignores a dog that's barking at it as it comes into town and goes through town, you know.
Right, right.
And, but as you listen and then you ask, do you really want to know truth? Are you searching for truth? You know, and I found here that there aren't that many people who are ready to say, yes, I'm ready to become a follower of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to commit my life to Him. I haven't found that. I found people who are Christians who have wavered, and they say, you know, one lady was here, said, I came, she was an African-American lady, she said, I came because a friend invited me, but I was deceived. And she said, I need help. I need to leave here. I have two teenage children at home. I do not want them to be here. I do not want to be here myself. I don't drink. I don't smoke. You know, I don't do drugs. I need to get out of here. And our people helped her to get to a bus station, and she went back home.
So it
is an uncomfortable place for a follower of Jesus Christ unless you're here as a person on mission. But the thing in talking about truth that I've tried to confront people with is this. If you want to know truth, there's one event in history that you have to honestly consider. And that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, if he arose from the grave, I suspect he's God.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the way I put it to them.
Right.
If he didn't, then forget about Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just say, well, I don't believe that. You have to honestly look at evidence, consider it, and if you want to know truth. Now, if you're not willing to be intellectually honest, then, you know, go ahead and do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to know truth, you have to look at this.
Right.
So, you know, and all we can do, I believe, for many of them is share the truth, plant a seed, and pray that down the road someone else will water that seed, and then eventually God will bring a harvest.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thanks so much for talking with us, and God bless you and your ministry here. It's just amazing, and I've just been so excited to see the work that is going on here. The ministry is just so important from the people that I've talked to. They really are so appreciative of a place that they can come and find refuge and sit and, you know, get out of the sun, get out of the heat, get out of the rain like today, and talk to people who are just here to love on them.
And that's the amazing thing to me, is that we have people here. We have women and men who are well over 70 years old. I'm 60.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, but even older than I. And sometimes, as older folks, we might look upon some of this and say, oh, I can't believe this. That looks disgusting. And you know, we can go on and on, rant and rave and everything. Mm-hmm. That's not going to do any good here.
Right.
You know, and what I've been impressed with is our folks out here from these churches who've come in, who've simply loved on the people, not tried to condemn them, mm-hmm. but tried to serve them in the name of Jesus Christ, and people have shared Christ with them. Let me share one other thing,
okay,
and I'll close
see.
Here. We have what we call slip disc, which is just a frisbee,
mm-hmm.
but it has the gospel presentation on it.
Right.
Last year, just before Bonnaroo, Kerry Walker, who is the pastor at Trinity Baptist Church here in Manchester, and really is the local coordinator for all of this, received a message from someone who had been at Bonnaroo one of the first years that we had people here serving.
Right.
And we had those slip discs then, and people were throwing them and playing with them. Well, he said he first saw that the Christians were here, and he thought, what are you guys doing here? You know?
Uh-huh.
And he took the frisbee, and he played with it, took it home, threw it up. He wrote Kerry, and he said, you need to know that I wondered why you were there. But he said, I have looked at that slip disc. I've read the gospel. And last year, I became a Christian. I just want you to know, you sowed a seed. Thank you. And so we don't always know what's going to happen, but God does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that matters. If we're kingdom-minded, then we just keep planting, keep sowing, and God's going to give a harvest.
That's right. That's right. Now, if people want to get involved next year, how can they do that? How can they find out about how to maybe volunteer? Or I noticed that, you know, you're giving out little packages of personal hygiene packets. I mean, are there ways that people can send donations and things like that for that?
There have been people in churches who collected, you know, people who travel in the hotels mm-hmm. and all, who collected soap, shampoo,
right.
And different churches have made up little packets of toothbrushes, dental floss, antiseptic type of pads and different things, and put a little care package together. And we just put them in boxes, and people come through. They've picked them up. They've said, thank you. We forgot this. We forgot that.
Right.
We need toothpaste. We need lotion. We need sunscreen, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so it's just been a simple way. I think people in the churches who want to participate could make up some of those packets and send.
Right.
Or
can they contact just the Tennessee Baptist Convention?
They can do that. Ask them to call the Tennessee Baptist Convention Evangelism team, and we can put them in touch with the people they need to be in touch with, or kind of give them a direction there.
Great. Well, at the end of our podcast, we'll give you that number and a website as well that our listeners can call if they're interested. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, what did you think?
Carol, those are really good interviews. Very good interviews. Some neat stories.
Oh,
wow,
yeah.
Those are amazing.
Really neat stories. Yeah, it was great. Now, one of the things that I think was mentioned in one of those interviews, I can't remember who it was I was talking to about it, but they handed out some Ziploc baggies with...
You're saying, is it hygiene packets?
Yeah, personal hygiene packets.
Okay.
So things like baby wipes and toothbrushes, toothpaste,
things like that. That would be a great mission opportunity for a Missions Friends group or a GAs or ACTeens group could put those together. The ones that we had were giving out, they had little stickers on them that had, you could put the Plan of Salvation on them, and then the 1-888-JESUS-2000. They call that phone number, they'll get to talk to somebody on the end of the line who can, you know, pray with them, share the gospel with them, just talk to them about spiritual things. So, I mean, that was a great ministry.
Yet another
itself.
Thing, they stick in their pocket, and you never know, weeks later they might find the telephone number. They can go right to it.
Exactly, exactly. Wow. So that was something very needed. So, you know, if you want to put together some personal hygiene packets and send those to the Tennessee Baptist Convention, they'll be able to use those.
Is there a website
year.
For them
yes.
to find
that? Tennessee Baptist Convention website is tnbaptist.org. And Larry Gilmore is the director of evangelism. And I'm sure if you have questions about how you can get involved in the More Than Music ministry at Bonnaroo, his email address is lgilmore, so that's lgilmore, at tnbaptist.org. That's his email address.
Perfect. Giving out his email address. That's
I know.
Great.
Yeah. So I hope
maybe he'll get inundated
yes.
by people wanting to just
go
supply these hygiene bags
and help as well. And I mean, just
what a simple project you'd think that could change somebody's life.
Oh yeah.
One night, you know, a group just gets together, puts together, you know, a couple hundred of these packets.
Oh yeah.
Sends them along.
That'd be great. Or if they want to just donate money for the food, I mean, it costs them money to, you know, supply 3,000 bananas or, you know, all the apples and oranges and the drinks and things like that. So you could, I'm sure Larry would appreciate donations from churches. I know that there were some churches this year that donated.
Maybe they could donate a banana tree and then the bananas could just keep on giving.
That would be cool.
Oh.
That would be cool.
It's an idea.
Yeah.
Trying to think.
You have to keep that in Florida, probably.
Oh.
I don't think bananas grow in Tennessee.
That's an easy shipping up to Tennessee. There you go.
Sure.
No big deal.
Exactly. Well, you have any other questions about Bonnaroo?
I don't think so. Very cool event. And it really makes me personally, I'm sure folks out there listening, think of other events you can attend to kind of make your own. I'm sure there's not just music festival events. There's all types of events that happen in different states. Why not grab hold of one of these that's near your youth group or your church or your congregation or your group of friends? Do something exactly like this. It sounds like it takes a tent, a little bit of resources, and just some love, just loving other people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you could do this at a county fair, you know, any kind of, you know, so many small towns and even big cities do all kinds of different fairs and festivals, and you could definitely do this kind of thing.
And like Bill said in his interview, you know, you're not there to condemn. You're there just to show grace and just to love on them. Well, how hard is that? We can all get out there and just love on these people.
Exactly.
It's
and
so great.
That's something to remember just in our everyday lives. I mean, just show the love of Christ. And
So maybe if some people out there think of some neat ideas or ways that they're going to do something like this in the future, let us know. Email us here.
Yes, they can email us at onmission@namb.net, or you can go online, onmission.com, and send a letter to the editor with our letter to the editor link. So, send us your ideas.
Share us your story.
Great.
It'd be neat to share that with other people. The more stories like this you get, you just start telling other people, and everybody starts brainstorming, and all before you know it, you know, it's just exploding.
Exactly.
Everywhere.
Exactly. Well, that's really all we have time for this week. Brent, thank you for joining me.
I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. I didn't feel quite as alone, you know, since Adam's gone. So I
it would have been weird talking to yourself.
It would have been odd. So
thank you for having me.
Thank you. Join us next week for an interview with Michael Catt, pastor of Sherwood Baptist Church and executive producer of the film Fireproof. We caught up with him at the SBC and did a great interview with him.
Of course.
One of the stars of the movie. So join us next week for that. And we hope you'll tune in every Friday to hear how missionaries and on-mission Christians are impacting North America with the gospel. Thanks to everybody for being here and joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Toodaloo.